The reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, to Jonah chapter 4, verse 4. Once again, the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you." So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to walk through it. Jonah started through the city, and after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, so they decided that everyone should fast. And all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. When the king of Nineveh heard about it, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, put on sackcloth, and sat down in ashes. He sent out a proclamation to the people of Nineveh. "This is an order from the king and his officials. No one is to eat anything. All persons, cattle, and sheep are forbidden to eat or drink. All persons and animals must wear sackcloth. Everyone must pray earnestly to God and must give up his wicked behavior and his evil actions. Perhaps God will change his mind. Perhaps he will stop being angry and we will not die." God saw what they did. He saw that they had given up their wicked behavior. So he changed his mind and did not punish them as he said he would. Jonah was very unhappy about this and became angry. So he prayed, "Lord, didn't I say just before I left home that this is just what you would do? That's why I did my best to run away to Spain. I know that you are a loving and merciful God, always patient, always kind, and always ready to change your mind and not punish. Now, Lord, let me die. I'm better off dead than alive." The Lord answered, "What right have you to be angry?" This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, no.
What is that?
That is Sheldon's "I'm unhappy and about to destroy the planet" music. Let's just go to your place.
Well, wait, if he's unhappy, shouldn't we talk to him?
Shouldn't we talk to him? Have you learned nothing in 6 years?
You doing okay, sweetie?
There's ominous music playing, and there's an Afghan over my head. I don't know where you're from, but where I'm from, that means I'm not doing okay.
Want me to make you some tea?
Now, tea is for when I'm upset. I'm not upset. The university's forcing me to work with Kripke. I'm outraged.
So, Coco?
Yes, Coco! Do you have any idea what it's like to be paired with someone who's so incredibly annoying?
Oh, teacher, me!
You see, I did all this great work, and now he's just gonna come along and ruin it. I am angrier than ever and filled with despair.
What beverage do you make for that?
No, I know this. Hot apple cider with cinnamon sticks?
Yes, hot apple cider with cinnamon sticks!
For those of you who don't know, that was another clip from The Big Bang Theory, one of the comedy shows that is very popular at the moment. Now, I don't know if Jonah would have been playing ominous music with an Afghan over his head. Likewise, I don't know whether a cup of cocoa or a cup of tea might have been the right drink to make him be in a better mood. But having had his life turned upside down by being sent to Nineveh by God, this place that he didn't want to go to, and then only for God to turn around and not follow through with what he had told Jonah he would do, we're told in verse 1 of chapter 4 of the passage that Ali just read to us, that Jonah was unhappy and angry. Jonah was outraged at God. This evening we're continuing in our series looking at our theme of connecting with our culture and being how, seeing how we as Christians can connect to those that we come into contact and how we can relate our faith to them and share our faith with those that we come into contact with. And this evening we're going to look at this passage from Jonah as he interacts with the Ninevites and see whether there might be something that we can learn from this. For those of you who are not familiar with the story of Jonah, let me give you a quick overview and bring you up to speed. Jonah is a man of God and a prophet. And one day God speaks to him and tells him that he wants to go to this place called Nineveh. And he's asked him to go there and speak against it because it is a wicked city. But Jonah decides that he doesn't really like that idea. And so he's decided to go not just stay where he is, he's decided to run in the complete opposite other direction. And of all the places, he decides to head to Spain. Probably wanted to go to the beach. For Jonah, Nineveh would have been a place that was... he just couldn't understand. He just couldn't comprehend it. It was completely foreign to him in every way. Nineveh was a place that stood for everything that as a Jew, Jonah just could not stand. For Jonah to go to a place like Nineveh would have quite literally felt as if he was going to a place like hell. People were just not, they lived their lives in a way that was just so not right. It was untrue. Whilst at sea, on his way to Spain, Jonah is on a ship with a load of sailors, and the ship gets caught in a massive storm. And when the sailors who Jonah is with find out that Jonah is a man on the run from God, they quickly realize that it may be because of him that they find themselves in the slight predicament of nearly being shipwrecked. So the sailors take evasive action and decide to chuck Jonah overboard, which then leads to the storm dying down, but leaves Jonah as a sitting duck in the sea with nowhere to go. And then at the end of chapter 1, we hear that a big fish comes along and swallows Jonah up. Now, whilst Jonah is in the big fish, which I'm sure was not particularly pleasant, probably quite smelly, he decides that he's gone wrong and he's not, he's turned his back on God, and he prays to God and comes back and asks for forgiveness from God for going the other way. And after Jonah makes his peace with God, the fish spits him back out and Jonah finds himself on the beach, which is where our reading this evening picks up, the story. Jonah was a man who had already disobeyed and gone against God. Not only had he gone against God, but he had run in the completely opposite direction. And yet God doesn't shun Jonah. He doesn't leave him to drown in the sea. Yes, he gets followed by a big fish that was probably not the nicest way to travel, even 2,000, 3,000 years ago, but in verse 1 of chapter 3, we hear that God gave Jonah a second chance. As we hear the book say, once again, the Lord spoke to Jonah. Jonah may have run in the other direction to God, but God asked Jonah to do something, or God may have asked Jonah to do something that he then completely ignored. But God was gracious to Jonah, and Jonah had learnt his lesson. He obeyed God and set out for Nineveh. Our God is a gracious God. Our God is the God of the second chance. He is, and it's the same for us today as well as it was for Jonah. God wants us all to be people who live for him. He wants us all to be people who interact with those around us and share our faith with him and help them to see more of God's love and more of God's graciousness. But what does a gracious God mean for us today? It may be that here this evening, we know, like Jonah does at the beginning of this book, that God is wanting us to be more open with people about our faith, and he has something specific in store for us. But we don't really like that idea. And we're on the verge of running away because we just don't like it. Maybe that idea that God has given to us, that message, that thing that God wants us to do, is like the equivalent of going to Nineveh. We just don't get it. It seems almost wrong to us. It's just far out of our understanding. Maybe it's something to do with our church. Maybe God's asking us to serve the church here in a different way, in a new way that we've never done before. And it just seems so outrageous that we couldn't even imagine it. Maybe it's serving God through our work. And maybe God's got a change plan for us in our work setting. And we're not quite sure that what God's telling us is what we really think is the best way forward. Or maybe there's something in our community or in our day-to-day lives that we feel challenged by God to do. But there's part of us that knows that actually we don't want to go there. Despite hearing God, despite knowing what he wants of you, maybe this evening you feel a bit like Jonah. Maybe you feel like you'd much rather go in that complete opposite direction. Maybe you want to head to Spain. God often challenges us to go outside of our comfort zones. God asks us to go to those places that he would never imagine us to go to. But God does not give up on anyone. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on Nineveh. Or maybe you feel a bit like Jonah does at the beginning of this chapter and the beginning of this reading that we've just heard this evening. Maybe you've sensed that God's call and you've sensed this message that God's been trying to get through to you for a little while now. And you've been on that process of getting in a ship, being shipwrecked on your way to Spain, getting eaten by a fish. And now you find yourself on that beach, realizing that you've run away from God and that you've let God down. You've deserted him. You've failed him. If this is you this evening, be assured that God has not given up on you. God doesn't hold grudges against those who have seen the error of their ways and returned to him. Instead, God is gracious. He gives the second chance. He offers the opportunity to be restored and to start over again. I wonder, is this a message that you need to hear this evening? Have you felt like Jonah, spat out of the fish, feeling like you've let God down, sitting on the beach with nowhere really to go? God's grace is there for you. You are still able to be a man or a woman of God. You are still able to be someone who connects with their culture, to be used by God, to share your faith, to tell people more about the love and the graciousness of God. God is able to use all of us, regardless of who we are, what we have done or what we haven't done. But the question is, how does God use us? Well, we hear in this passage not only that Jonah goes to Nineveh, but that he also proclaimed the message that the Lord had given to him. Now, Nineveh was a big and successful city. For us, it would be the equivalent of London today. It was a big, wealthy city. And when people talked of a place like Nineveh, it would sort of bring to the idea of the mind images of grandeur, images of power, of beauty, of greatness. And yet in verse 4 of chapter 3, Jonah, we're told, started to walk through the city. And after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Now let me ask you to consider this. Can you imagine leaving church this evening, walking across the road, jumping on a train, going into London, and when you get to Liverpool Street, you decide to go for a walk all around the whole of London, saying, in 40 days, London will be destroyed? How would you feel? What would you think if you felt that was what God was saying to you to do? It strikes me that if that was me, I would feel a little bit insignificant. I'm just a little humble Matt saying a sentence that God has given me to share with the city of London that is so huge I can't even comprehend it. What difference could I possibly make? What good is this going to do apart from me walking around saying this message and being looked at as if I'm a little bit crazy? And also, just let's not forget, have you seen the size of a place like London? It's massive. It's huge. There is no chance that a place like London is going to be destroyed. And I'm sure Jonah would have felt similar to this as he went out and about saying this message to the Ninevites. What difference was he going to make in such a large city as an individual prophet? However, Jonah felt the key was that he needed to proclaim the message that God had given him for this city. Jonah had already gone his own way. He'd already not done what God did. So he probably worked out by this point that if he stuck to God's plan, then it couldn't go much worse than ending up in the stomach of a fish. God knew how to connect with the culture that Jonah was sent to. God knew the message that would touch the Ninevites' hearts. He knew the message that would challenge them and make them repent and come back to God. I'm not saying this evening that we need to go into London and tell everyone that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days' time. I'm also not saying that we need to do the same thing here in Chelmsford either, before we get any complaints. But what is it that God wants us to share with our community? What is the message that God has on his heart for the people here that he wants us to go and tell? It might be that the message that he wants us to tell our communities is the relief that he can give to all those who are struggling with all those heavy burdens that so many people in our society face today. Just this week, I received a phone call from an organization whose sole focus is trying to help people who are struggling with the pressures of finance and with the pressures of being unemployed. That is the message that they feel that God has given them to connect with their culture. Maybe the message that God wants us to tell our community is that he is a God who cares for them. Even when it seems that nobody else cares, God remains faithful and true. Or maybe God wants us to tell the people around us that God is a holy God, that he has called us to be a holy people, set apart and dedicated to him. This is by no means an exhaustive list of what God might be wanting to say to our community. But we need to be listening to hear what God has to say to those in the world around us. And once we hear something, we need to be willing to go out and say that message, to proclaim that message as well. Martin's already referred to the fact that we as a church here believe that one of the messages that we feel that we as a church should be sharing to our community is that we are a place where people can belong, that the church is a place of belonging, of acceptance. But how do we as a church show that we are a place to belong? Through our programs, through our activities, through our services? Do people feel welcomed and included when they come to the church here? Do all people get the same welcome regardless of who they are or where they're from or what they do? How do we as people of the church play our part in helping this church to express the messages that we want to communicate to our community? How do we help the church to be a place where people can belong? It is also worth saying that how we proclaim this message might not necessarily be verbally like Jonah did in this passage, but it might also be in action or in some other way. We can communicate to people in so many different ways, and it's the same when it comes to our faith. Yes, words are an important part of how we speak the message that God has given us. For example, if we take the message that I referred to earlier of God being a God who carries people's burdens, we can stand there and say to we're blue in the face the well-known phrase that God says, "Come all who are weary and heavy laden." However, we can also get the same message across, and maybe in a much more powerful way, when we actually get involved and actually start helping carry some of that heavy burden that that individual is facing, rather than just standing on the sidelines saying, it's all right, God will carry your burden for you. No matter how we communicate the message that God has given us to proclaim, we need to be careful about what we expect to happen once we share that message with the community and our culture. Jonah had turned his back on God, but God was gracious to him. But Jonah didn't expect God to be gracious to Nineveh as well. Jonah's expectations of God were all wrong. And unlike Jonah, if we are to be Christians who are effective at connecting with our culture, then we need to be people who have gracious expectations of what God is going to do in our communities. There are those who love the image of God as a God of wrath. There are those who love to preach the fire of hell and the need for turning to Jesus, or else you're going to face eternal damnation. And although these are not necessarily wrong conceptually, as a means of connecting with our culture, they fail in significance in comparison to the graciousness of God. Jonah understood God to be the God of wrath rather than the God of grace. He couldn't fully get his head around what the implications of God's graciousness were for him, for his community, for the entirety of his culture. It was this that got Jonah so upset at the end, in chapter 4 of the reading that we heard earlier. It was not understanding the grace of God and having his expectations of God blown out the window that led to him being angry and asking God why he even made him go to Nineveh in the first place. But if Jonah hadn't gone to Nineveh, then they would still be going about living their lives in the same godless way that they were before Jonah went to them. But it was because of Jonah that they saw the error of their ways and they returned, just like Jonah did at the beginning of chapter 3, to following God, the God who is gracious to all. We too need to remember that when we are sharing our faith, when we are trying to connect with those around us in our communities and those that we come into contact throughout the week, that we need to remember that we live and that when we tell people about what it is that we stand for, we too are people who God has been gracious to. And as we remember how gracious God has been to each one of us, we also need to remember that God is gracious to all who return to him. Each one of us this evening comes with our own individual perceptions of how God works, of how God operates. The challenge is that if we are to be people who connect with our culture, then we need to be able to step back from our own perceptions and our own understandings of God and instead look and see how God may be working in and through our culture and through our communities. And we shouldn't get upset when we see that what God is doing doesn't fit with our own individual preconceived ideas. Jonah was angry with God, not because he didn't destroy Nineveh, but instead because he fully didn't understand the nature of God as the God of grace. The question is, will we be like Jonah and when we don't understand how we see God at work, get angry? Or will we instead recognize our need for God's grace? Will we proclaim God's message that he has given to each one of us to share? And finally, will we have expectations that are big enough and gracious enough to be surprised by what God might do through us in and through our culture? Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank and praise you that you are the God of all graciousness. We thank you that you are the God who is gracious enough to give each one of us a second chance as one of your followers. As we go into the week ahead, we pray that you would help us to be people who remember your graciousness to each one of us. We pray that we would be people who know the messages that you want us to share with those in our communities. And we pray that as we hear these messages from you, that you would give us the strength and the confidence to be people who proclaim your message and not run in the opposite direction. Lord, we confess that we so often think we know so much when we often know so little. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be people who have our minds and expectations that are big enough and gracious enough to see you at work in our world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.